We have been learning from an old gnarly dude named Solomon. And as we have been dialoguing, we've kind of just taken this idea that we've been, you know, sitting at coffee with this old guy and trying to hear from him what life is all about. What is life all about? I know for me, as I think about the life experience that I have as a 26-year-old guy, it's not very deep, actually. There's not a whole lot that I can share with anybody that is of value from my own life. But when you talk with someone who is really old, even older than Granddad, and has as much life experience as a guy like Granddad, you can learn a ton. And Solomon is this guy who has incredible amounts of wisdom that is God-given. He's gone through an incredible life and made some huge mistakes and gone through some incredible stuff. And so we get to learn from him. So as we jump in tonight, we got a little jingle for you, and I want you guys to figure out if you can tell where we're going to learn from the book of Ecclesiastes. Come on. Anybody know? Any guesses? Granddad. What? Chapter 3, guys. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Everybody give Granddad a hand for knowing where we're at. Age and wisdom. Love it. Love it. I do love you, Granddad, by the way. Thank you very much. All right, so we're going to jump into Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tonight, and we're going to hear a little bit more from this guy, Solomon. We're going to start here in verse 1, and as the Beatles have so aptly put it, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun, under heaven rather. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Essentially, what Solomon is saying is there is a time for everything under the sun, every activity under heaven. There is a time that you will, as a human being in your life experience, you will encounter and come across these things. And as you look at that list, maybe the first time you can kind of go through and, okay, yeah, it's a bunch of random things that he's putting together, but he does a really interesting thing here. As he takes these ideas, these complete opposite extremes, and he says, look, you will experience everything that this world has to offer if you're on the earth long enough. You will experience the extreme good, you will experience the extreme evil, and you'll experience everything in between. This world that we live in, this life that we live in, will offer experiences to us that will run a gamut. It will be an extreme roller coaster ride, this life that we live. And so Solomon shares with us all of these ideas, and I just want to go through and take a look at these real quick. And really what he does is most of these are extreme on the good side, extreme on the bad side, and he kind of has them oddly ordered, and some ordered debatably. So let's take a look at them. So he says, time to kill and a time to heal. Time to kill and a time to heal. Some of you guys in here who are like, you know, barbarian at heart are like, yeah, time to kill. Like Ty Wells, he's like, yeah, there is a time to kill. Try to talk to my daughter and you'll find out. And not because he'll beat you up, because she will. So there is a time to kill and there is a time to heal. There are times in life where we will experience death, and there will be times in life when we will experience the process of healing. He says there's a time to tear down and a time to build. You know, at first glance, you kind of look at that and think, well, man, I don't really want to tear things down. I want to be someone who builds. And that is one of those things in life that sometimes you have to tear down in order to build something better. But then he says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. I don't know about you guys. I'm not a fan of crying. It's not my favorite thing to do. I heard a woman say this one time in our life group, and I was shocked. And she said, sometimes you just got to get a good cry out. You remember that, Brady? I was shocked. I thought, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I do not understand women, and I never will. But there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. I look at those two, and that's an easy, I mean, maybe debatable for some of you guys, but that's an easy one. Like, I don't want to weep. I want to laugh. Laughing is fun. It's like a medicine that's in the Bible. So that's what I want to do. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. Mourning's no fun. I like to dance. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. If you guys were here for prom about 4 years ago, you saw me bust a jig at YMCA. And hopefully that won't show up on YouTube anytime soon. I don't think it was on video, which is awesome. There's a time to scatter and a time to gather. Time to refrain, time to embrace. A time to search and a time to give up the search. It's kind of interesting. There's a time to throw away and a time to keep. Now, some of you in here are hoarders. We got any hoarders in the room that are willing to admit it? Josh, granddad, all right. Aaron, any hoarders in this room? Oh, come on, only three? All right, well, there's a show on TV. It's a very, 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 very crazy show. And I am not a hoarder. I look at that, I just don't understand. I like to throw things away. If it's like even at all not any good anymore, I'm done with it. I'm ready to move on to the next thing. That is my personality. But there's a time to hoard, and there's a time to throw away. But some people on the other opposite end, my end, are wasteful, right? All of you hoarders in the room are like, that's wasteful. And you're right. So there's a time to hoard and a time to throw away. So that one's a little bit debatable. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent. Now, depending on your personality, you'll also look at that and say, well, you know, one's good and one's bad. I am obviously the silent type. So I like to keep silent. There is a time to hate, and there's a time to love. And there is a time for war, and a time for peace. You know, it's an interesting thing when you look at a list like this, and some of them are extremely obvious things that are really just bad things. You know, death, not great. War is really not a great thing, even if you are a soldier. War is a terrible thing. There are these things in our lives that are no good. The idea of things being torn and things being built torn down and destroyed in our lives. We look at that and it's like, man, that's not the kind of thing that I want to go through. I want to go through the laughter, the building, the fun, the enjoyable things of life. And really, for the most part, most of us, we live our lives looking at this list, trying to stay on the one side of the list. Whichever thing is easy, whichever thing is pleasing, man, we go for that. That's what we do. Because, let's be honest, it's no fun to experience hurt and pain and hardship and toil. It's no fun at all. Now, Solomon goes through this list and he says, look, you're going to experience all of these things. You will. You will experience all of these things if you live on planet Earth. There is no avoiding these things. You can try really, really, really hard, but you're not going to be able to avoid all of these things. So he continues and he says in verse 9, he gets really uplifting again, as we have experienced. He says in verse 9, he says, what does the worker gain from his toil? You know, as we live our lives and we work to experience the best that life has to offer for ourselves, for our children, for our family, at the end of the day, we realize that we are going to experience the gamut of what life has to throw our way, whether we like it or not. And he asks a great question. What does the worker gain from his toil? He says, I have seen the burden that God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So Solomon takes this list of things and he says, look, this is the gamut of life. This is the life that we will experience. And we can work as hard as we want to try to experience the good side of that list. But the problem is this. God has laid a burden on humanity. It's a very interesting thing for Solomon to say. God has laid a burden on all of humanity that he has set eternity in our hearts. You know, as we have been talking through Solomon's life and the things that he explains in Ecclesiastes, he talks about all of these things that we would actually really put on the good side of the list. And he really breaks all of them down and boils them down to this idea that really they are all meaningless pursuits. You know, even if you could avoid all of the gamut of the things that life will throw at you, it's still meaningless at the end of the day. We've been talking over the last few weeks about things that are good, like work. And work is, you know, a lot of times we are a little lazy and think, work's not great. But really, there is a fulfilling reality to work. But ultimately, if the fear of the Lord is not in our hearts, it's meaningless. And we've talked about that. We talked about pleasure. That all the pleasure in the world will not satisfy us apart from the fear of the Lord. We talked about possessions and wealth. And we've talked about all of these things that are on the good side of the list that Solomon is trying to help us understand that at the end of the day, these things are meaningless. Even if you can avoid all the bad stuff and enjoy all the good stuff, it's all meaningless outside of the fear of the Lord. But what he does for us here in this part of Ecclesiastes is he drops that idea on us of why. Why are all these things meaningless apart from the fear of the Lord? So I began to think about it. Man, why are all of these things meaningless apart from the fear of the Lord? If God has set eternity on the hearts of men, if God has set eternity on the hearts of men, then the gamut of life, the things that life will throw our way, the experiences, both bad and good and everything in between, in comparison to the light of eternity, start to fade away in terms of importance. He says some really, really interesting things as we continue. He says, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. But I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. God does this crazy thing of laying this huge burden on us. This burden of eternity that God lays on the hearts of not eternal, but temporal people. This burden that we cannot bear on our own. This idea that this life is not everything. This idea that the world has been here before we ever got here. God has been up to incredible things before we ever set foot on this planet. That is a burden that is too big for us to bear. that the world will keep on ticking long after we are gone and we are forgotten. God has laid eternity on the hearts of men. And it's good. It's good for us to enjoy our life. But at the end of the day, unless we understand that God is bigger, grander, more amazing, and his work will be accomplished on this earth. The thing that God has been doing since the dawn of creation and will be doing way after we're gone will come to pass. And that is what matters. And we've been talking about all these things and the fear of the Lord and how they really work together. And here Solomon is saying, why? This is why. The reason why your life will never amount to satisfaction outside of the fear of the Lord is because life is bigger than you. And God's plan is eternal, and he will bring it to completion. And so we are left with a choice. We have the opportunity to take a look at this gamut that life has to offer. All the bad and all the good. And we can look at it through the temporary lenses of this life. And at the end of the day, what will the worker gain for his toil? Nothing. But if we look at the gamut of life, this experience of the world that we live in, through the lens of God's eternal plan, and we understand that we get to play a part in that plan, if we look at our life and the gamut of everything that we will experience, and we look at it through the lens of eternity, and we realize that it only makes sense with the fear of the Lord, it all becomes clear. Solomon says that he has made everything beautiful in its time. So now the list changes for us. As we begin to look from a bird's eye view at the life that we are living, as we see ourselves as a tiny blip on the radar of time and space and eternality and God, and we see that we serve an incredible God who has placed us purposefully on that blip, on that radar, it begins to make the experiences, the gamut of experiences that this life will bring to us, beautiful. You know, Paul, he understood this. If you look at the life of Paul, it's this list. I mean, think about it. Paul was a guy who began, we first encounter Paul, his name is Saul, and he is killing Christians. That's what he's up to with his life. There was, for him, a time to kill Christians. That's what he was doing. And then Jesus came, interrupted his life forever, totally changed him, picked him out of the myriads of people that God could have chose a Christian murderer to be the man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and saw the world turn upside down with the gospel. Paul understood that there is a time and a season for everything. He experienced an incredible amount of life. As a follower of Jesus, he saw the birth of the church, the flourishing of the church. He saw people getting saved left and right. He saw the gospel preached. I mean, crazy, crazy stuff that this guy experienced in life. And he said something very, very interesting in Philippians. I want you guys to turn there. It's on page 815 of the Mosaic Bibles. Philippians chapter 3. In thinking about this list, the list that we tend to try and make sure that everything is good on that list, Paul says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. That is a very weak translation of that word. Trash, garbage, refuse. That I may gain Christ. Paul looked at the list of his life. And before Christ, he had a long list of things that he was up to, things that he did. And even after Christ, he had a long list of ways that God used him and incredible things. And not only did he have a list of ways that God used him and incredible things, but you should see this guy's list of all the hardships that he's gone through. Beatings, shipwrecks, imprisonment, and ultimately, his life was poured out as a drink offering to God, and he was martyred. But what Paul says makes so much sense if you're looking at this life through the lens of eternity. What are you going through right now? I'm going through some stuff that stinks. My life kind of stinks sometimes. And right now, it stinks. What are you going through? I don't know. Only you do. What joys are you experiencing? What blessings has God brought into your life? What is going on? What does your list look like? If we see our list, our life, the things that we're experiencing on this planet through the lens of eternity, that God is doing amazing things on this planet, and we are a part of that, the list becomes beautiful because it's not even about the list anymore. It's about knowing the eternal God that we serve. So the good things and the bad things, it's almost irrelevant. Because every experience that we endure, every joy that we experience, helps us know our God better. And in that, God brings beauty to all of life. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. You know, Solomon, he got to the end of his life and he looked back. After chasing after other gods because of stupid decisions that he made, after going after everything else, trying to experience the best list that he possibly could. He said, you know what? I didn't gain anything. In fact, I have this huge burden in my heart because God has placed eternity on it, himself. And the list, without God, it's meaningless. For you and for me tonight, we have things going on. We have our own list. And it looks probably very different. But may I submit to you tonight that if we see our list through the eyes, the lens of eternity, the God that we serve, If knowing him is what we become about, then the list becomes beautiful again. It's a pretty amazing thing. It's a pretty amazing truth. So here we sit with an old guy who's been around the block and has shared with us some incredible truth. I pray that it would deeply impact you. I pray that it would deeply impact me, that the eternal God that I serve is doing amazing things, and he makes life meaningful. Let's pray. God, I thank you that in the midst of a book in the Bible that seems pretty random and has a lot of crazy stuff in it, God, I thank you that incredible truth is found within its pages. God, I thank you that you have laid the burden of eternity upon the hearts of men. God, I thank you that my heart does not become satisfied by the list that I try to manage. But God, my heart is only satisfied in you. God, as Paul declared that he counted everything loss compared to knowing Jesus. God, I pray that that would be the cry of our heart. That nothing would matter in comparison to knowing you. And God, that because we can know you, the eternal God who has never been created and will never die, but you've always been, God, that because we can know you, everything that was meaningless can be beautiful in its time. But God, that those things would not be our pursuit, but that knowing you would be our pursuit. You do this, God, so that we would revere you. I love that. God, help us know you, revere you. We worship you, God.